It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the short grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Coming up on this edition, I sit down with former Chicago Cub and Boston Red Sox World Series champion John Lester, a five-time All-Star, won the NLCS MVP in 2016, led the National League in wins in 2018, pitched a no-hitter on May 19, 2008 for the Boston Red Sox, and won the 2007 World Series and 2013 World Series in Boston, and then, of course, the 2016 World Series for the Chicago Cubs. He played for five teams in his MLB career: Boston, Oakland, Chicago, Washington, and St. Louis. I think you're really going to enjoy my interview with a 200-game winner in John Lester coming up after the break. Want to tell you about our friends at Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure it's at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. We're back with more after this. Stay with us.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole. I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to, and a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf, I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square district of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. I have really enjoyed sitting down with some Major League Baseball Hall of Famers and some potential Hall of Famers, and I think today's guest is a potential Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. He won three World Series championships, and now he's playing golf and he loves the game. On the tee, John Lester.
John, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. First question I have to ask is, you won three World Series championships, two with Boston, one with Chicago. Which one was the best, and why is it the Chicago Cubs?
You know what? I try to – people try to kind of, I don't want to say bait me into picking one or the other, but, you know, they all awesomely had unique personal things in them, each different one, you know. So, like, 07 – came back from cancer and kind of, I don't want to say fell into it. I was a young guy, luckily enough to make the postseason roster on that one and be a part of it, get to pitch and be a part of that whole thing. That obviously different level of coolness on that one. You know, 13 was my first one where I was the dude. Like, I had to be on my game. I pitched the game ones. I pitched the game fives. Like, did that whole thing. Like, the team counted on me to be a part of that. So that was, you know, really unique and special. And then the Boston Marathon on top of that, which mm-hmm. what happened that year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 16, I was signed there to do that. You know, like, they wanted me to be a part of this, and they brought me in to hopefully break this curse and be a part of the first World Series in Chicago. So to be a part of that and to be, like, kind of the first one there and you know, bring other guys like Jay Hay and Zobrist and, you know, all these other guys and to accomplish that goal, I mean, it was so crazy that we were able to do it. So that's kind of my answer. I don't think there's one more than the other. You know, I think maybe if I had to grade them, it would probably be the 16 one is probably, you know, like a 1A, and then like a 1B would be 07 just because of the personal stuff. And then, you know, like a 1C would be 13 for obviously the reasons I just talked about.
David Ross, your catcher.
Yep.
Now manager of the Chicago Cubs, and manager they're off David. To a really good start. Mm-hmm. What's that relationship like between you two?
It's great. I wish it was, I don't want to say better, because it's not, we're not in bad terms. It's just now he's working again. You know, like the few years that, or year or so, 2 years, whatever, he retired and I was still playing. You know, he was working for the Cubs and like coming up. So I got to see him and hang out with him and, you know, his life wasn't as crazy. And now, you know, he's working, he's back in the grind. So I don't get to see him as much as I'd like to, talk to him as much as I'd like to. But no, man, I mean, I've been very, very fortunate in this game because, you know, you have, we like to call them baseball friends, and then you have lifers. And I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of lifers in my journey. And he's one of those guys that is a part of that and part of my family. You know, I'm really, really happy that they're playing well this year. You know, he's gone through some rough times already, you know, early on. So it's nice to see him playing well. And I hope he gets to manage good teams and go to the postseason and be a part of that as on the other side now.
Do you think that he has that mindset? I remember watching game 7. I don't know if he was mic'd up or who was mic'd up, but there was a mic that picked up Rizzo around his back, and he goes, man, I'm so nervous. And Rossi's like, you got to breathe.
Yeah.
Do you think he has the mindset to where if he does get a team, and let's hope it's the Cubs, to the postseason, to an NLCS championship series or World Series, that he can handle that?
Absolutely. You know, catchers are just a different breed in the game. You're the only one facing the field. Everybody else is facing the stands, right? So mm-hmm. you have the entire game in front of you, and they have to manage the game within the game, right? Like they're having to manage me as the pitcher and then manage the guys on base, where the infielders are playing, where the outfielders are playing, and you know, all this other stuff. So they've got a different understanding. You know, I was talking to DeRosa the other day, and Brian McCann was kind of like his bench coach, or, you know, extra coach for the WBC, and he's like, man, he just sees the game differently. For whatever reason, catchers just kind of have that natural deal. And it was funny, you know, D-Rose said, he's like, the game is so fast when you're having to do all this, like playing out pitchers, warming up, who's doing this, this guy's going to run for this guy's going to do this. And the catchers are just able to slow it down because they're used to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm going to throw this pitch to get to this pitch. This guy's on third. I got to block. They got so much going on. So when they get in the thick of it, it's kind of normal to them. You know, so I think Rossi now has had, you know, a few years, what, this is his third year managing. You know, he's been able to kind of slow things down, you know, and it's not as crucial anymore because now you got the universal DH. You don't have to worry about double shifting as much and doing all that stuff. So rules with the bullpen, so forth. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's fine. I hope he gets in those situations. You know, I mean, that means he's doing something right.
When did you first pick up a golf club?
I was young, but I say it this way. Like, I played golf when I was a kid. Not a lot. I enjoyed it. My grandfather was a lefty. My dad, you know, he'd take me golfing with him. And so, you know, I don't know how old I got into it. I think just like every kid kind of, or person our age, it's, you know, Tiger Woods came and it's like, oh, man, golf is cool. Like, I want to go do this. And we were talking about it the other day, like growing up, you know, your dad would put golf on. You're like, Dad, why are you watching golf? Like, this is terrible, right? Really, the only time you'd ever watch is the Masters, and then that was it for the year. I'd say getting serious about golf, you know, really not too long ago, 2017. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've really bought, like, dove into trying to be a better golfer. I don't want to say a good golfer, just a better golfer, understanding the game, understanding how to play. You know, I'm trying to pick guys' brains as much as I can. I'm trying to watch these guys when they're playing and, you know, see where they're trying to hit it and what they're trying to do. You know, I like being a pitcher. I like that cat and mouse game. So, you know, the golf of, you know, where am I missing? How am I missing? You know, what shot do I have today? You know, I'm not cutting it. I'm drawing it. So now I have to alter my game plan and what I'm trying to do. And so it's just, it's been so much fun the last, you know, however many years that is. What is that, 6 years, 7 years doing these and trying to become better golfer. Being retired, man, it's awesome. I get to play in these member guests and members. And we have one back home called a Suggs match that, you know, is handicap deal. And it's 2-on-2 match play. And so it's, you get the competitive juices going and all that. But yeah, man, I would say probably the last, let's just say the last 10 years, really tried to get better at golf. And I've been fortunate, man. I got to play a lot of cool places. So
when you were playing baseball, did you pack the clubs on road trips?
Yeah, and every year was different. You know, every year you had, you know, you got your starting five, which is usually who you base, you know, your golf off of, right? Is who in the starting five plays golf. And, you know, if you had an off day going somewhere, all the position players brought their clubs because they want to play on the off day. But, yeah, man, there'd be some years where most of the years in Boston, we had a foursome all the time. It's just a matter if you wanted to get up and play. Chicago was kind of hit or miss on the years based on who we had. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to St. Louis, man, it was every city we had golf lined up. And I played more golf in the 2 months that I was in St. Louis than I did the previous, like, 2 years. So that was really fun. But, yeah, my clubs usually went on a road trip, and I tried to play. You know, if I could get a foursome, we played. If it was, like, just two guys playing, it was kind of like, I don't know if we want to really do this.
What'd you play for? Meal money?
No, we always play front-back total. And then, you know, depending on who you're playing, it's 50-50, and then we always play for a shirt. So that was the big thing in Boston. That was Wakey's deal. You'd play 50-50 or 100-100 and then shirt. Usually the front and back was a wash. Like, usually somebody played good and you didn't, and then somebody played good and you know, whatever. But the shirt, the total, now that was key, because usually what happened, especially with Josh, if Josh beat somebody, Beckett, that joker was wearing the shirt to the field that day that you bought him. It was like, kind of like a trophy.
Yeah.
Right?
So, right. A nice polo out of the pro shop.
Yep. Yep. Because, you know, most of the time, like, and Wakey was right, like, most of the time you play these courses, right? Like, you go to wherever, like, man, I'm getting something from the pro shop, right? And like, yep. So, perfect. You beat somebody. They got to buy you your polo that you want. So, it was an awesome deal, man. Like, I still try to do that. Not so much anymore because you're not traveling as much, so you don't want a shirt from the same place all the time, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, we usually do back home, we usually do cart or the 666 game where driver, passenger, and then carts, mm-hmm. you know, kind of finish it. So that's kind of our game at home. But yeah, the shirt thing, that was fun. I probably bought more shirts than I've won, but it's still a cool thing.
What are some of the shirts that you treasure that you picked off of some others?
Oh, man. I remember I won one. Pittsburgh Field Club, I won one there. I don't remember if it was off Wakey or Josh. Man, it's been so long since I played those guys. Like, I don't really remember, like, anything in particular. You know, I just remember I had to probably buy more than I won. I wasn't very good, and Wakey and Josh were pretty good.
You touched on it earlier, the cancer and the health scare that mm-hmm. you went through. Did that make you a better person coming through that?
I don't know about better person. I think it just helped me. It kind of helped me realize, like, I mean, I was what, 20, I think 22?
Young.
Yeah. And I think it just kind of helped me, you know, kind of get my feet back on the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. 22 years old, I'm in the big leagues. I'm living life, right? Like, I'm top of the world. I'm playing for the Boston Red Sox. I'm kind of holding my own. I've got, you know, hopefully however many years in the big leagues to go and all this other stuff. And, you know, you're on cloud nine and, you know, that kind of right back down. And I don't want to say humbles you, but, you know, it definitely gets your feet back on the ground. And it's like, all right, you need to slow down, figure this out. You know, I tell people that I don't wish cancer upon anybody, but, you know, I can say this now because everything worked out, right? So, like, I look back on it and I'm, like, really grateful that I went through that because of the people I got to meet. I got to meet these doctors and these nurses and these people that, you know, invested their lives into research, you know, to get me here. You know, like if these people didn't do that, I might not be here, you know. So I got to meet a lot of great people. And then through that, we started our foundation. And through that, I got to meet even more people that are into the research and the pediatric side of things. And, you know, and if that never happened, you know, these people wouldn't be part of my life. And, you know, I don't know where I would be in the big leagues or how my life would turn out. So, you know, it just made me think, or made me realize that, like, every day I need to do something. I have a purpose. Like, I came back from this for a reason, and I need to make the most of it. And so I tried to work my butt off to, you know, make it worth its while, I guess.
I know Travis Wood loves to hunt.
Oh, yeah. He sent me a video this morning. He killed a turkey this morning.
Did he have his shirt on?
He didn't send me a picture of that. He sent me a picture of him killing the turkey. He didn't. I don't know if he's. I would say no. I would say he didn't have his shirt on.
Does he play golf?
Yeah. He's actually gotten really good. He plays righty. And when we were at the Cubs, he you could see it in there. You could see the game. And now he's retired. You know, he's just that good old boy, redneck, like, yeah, I'll go play golf and shoot 78. You know, like, doesn't care, doesn't, just goes plays. And we've been talking about, because we talk about these tournaments and stuff, and he was like, yeah, I went and played yesterday. I was like, well, how'd you play? He's like, I played all right, shot 75. I'm like, damn, dude.
Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, like, you're getting good. He's like, yeah, I could probably whip your butt. I'm like, yeah, you could. Like, what happened? Like, you were an 85 guy when I played. He's like, man, I got more time. I just go play now. I'm like, all right.
So, cool.
Yeah, he's.
When you go out and play, John, I mean, obviously, playing in the major leagues and then playing now on the golf course, do you still get that competitive edge? Is this something that kind of gives you that sense of competition?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the competitiveness, because, like, I'm realistic in my golf game, and I know I'm probably not going to win these things. And it's more of kind of, you know, just trying to get better. But for me, it's that first tee. It's that you get out there, you got kind of that anxiety, jitter, heart rate pumping, all that adrenaline going, and now I got to try to execute something. To me, that's something you can't replicate anywhere, you know. So even, you know, back home, I go and play with my buddies or whatever. You don't get that. You're just playing. Mm-hmm. So to come and do these, you know, a couple times a year for 3-4 days and get that feeling, you know, is a pretty cool thing.
Is it kind of like the feeling you got game 7 in Cleveland on that Wednesday night when you get in the game, you're on the mound, and
you know, man, what? Is
it different?
It's different, because, like, when I was doing that, I knew what I was doing. Out here, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You know,
it's
you don't, like, know where the ball's,
yeah,
going.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I hope this goes somewhere down there and is in play. We can find it and hit it. I tell people all the time, like, they're like, aren't you nervous? I was like, no. I was more nervous watching the games than I was actually pitching in the games, because, you know, you got so much going on in your mind. Like, all right, who's up? Rajay Davis. Okay, my strike one pitch is this. You know, if I get ahead, I can go to change up under, or I can go elevated heater, stay away from the breaking ball into him. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? So something like that is going through your mind, as opposed to when you're on the bench, like, what's this? I hope he didn't throw him a breaking ball. Like, what's this guy doing? Like, why are we throwing that? Like, what don't we? So you're just, your mind's going. But when you're in the game, you know, it's you're focused on so much other stuff that you don't really hear the crowd. You don't really understand the magnitude of what you're doing. You're just focused on, okay, I got this, and this is how I'm going to try to get him out. You know, runner on first, I need a ground ball. How do I get a ground ball from this guy? What pitch gets me a ground ball? And you're thinking about that stuff, as opposed to, you know, sitting on the bench and just like, I hope he gets this guy out. You know, like, what the hell's going on? So, yeah, I'd much rather be out there.
You played the majority of your career in two historical places.
Yeah.
Not many people get to say that.
Yeah.
Fenway Park and Wrigley Field.
Yeah, it's pretty special. I was pretty blessed in the teams. I mean, even if you look at all the teams I played for, you know, I played for Boston and then Oakland, obviously a very historic franchise there. Then obviously going to Chicago and then finished my career in St. Louis. Like, very, very historical icons in the game, right? Like, a lot of history, a lot of great players have gone through those organizations. You know, so like I said, man, I was very blessed to be able to do it and do it a long time in those two cities. And I, you know, I'm glad that Fenway has remained and Wrigley has remained, which, don't get me wrong, like, these new stadiums are incredible that they're building. But I hated to see old Yankee Stadium go. Like, that was one of my plays. I love that place.
Did you like when you went to pitch there, the words that you would hear thrown at you from the fans?
Yeah, you know what? It never bothered me. It bothered me more to hear them do it to other people than it did myself. I loved pitching in New York. I loved it. I loved that whole rivalry. I loved that when you walk into Yankee Stadium, that buzz, that feel, warming up and all that stuff, man. I remember my first start in old Yankee Stadium, and they open the doors to go. I throw a long toss and get ready, and they open the doors, and I go to walk to the bullpen. And old Yankee Stadium, the monuments were right there. Like, I'm walking in, and I'm eye to eye with the fans. Like, there's 30 people that are doing a monument tour right there, and they're yelling at you as you're walking through. But then you look over, and there's Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and, you know, whoever. You're like, God, this is cool. You know, like, it still gives me goosebumps. And you're warming up, and you hear the New York accent, you know, you suck, like, screaming at you. And it's just, I loved pitching there. You know, and I think mentally you kind of prepare different when you roll in there, because you're like, you're going to hear stuff. You know, some of the worst places were the ones that you didn't expect it. And, you know, you got some fan just standing over your shoulder, just screaming at you. And you're like, man, I remember one time at the old ballpark at Arlington, and I was warming up there, and the bullpens were so tight, the old bullpens. And there's a dude just right here. And I mean, he's wearing me out, just wearing me. And you're like sitting there going, man, I'm Texas. Like, I thought these people were nice. And this dude was wearing me out. And I told him, I warmed up and I looked over at him afterwards. I threw him a ball. I was like, man, that was pretty good stuff. You know? So like those are the places that kind of catch you off guard, you know, like you're just in some random place and some dude's wearing you out and you're like, oh man, like, that was tough. And, you know, like I said, New York didn't bother me because I think you just prepare differently mentally when you go into those places.
Who are some guys that when you see them on TV playing the game of golf, must-see TV, you have to stop and watch?
Well, if you asked my wife that, she would say all of them, because when I'm at home, that's all I watch is the Golf Channel. Man, I love all the – I mean, I guess they're not young anymore. I mean, they're kind of the studs of what's going on. But I've always liked watching Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. And, you know, I know it's probably a sensitive subject. They've gone to the LIV now. But I've always liked Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. You know, I love watching Rahm, because I like watching guys that are different. Like Scottie Scheffler, guys that have not the – you know, the poster swing, right? Like, you got Scotty moving his feet all over the place, and it kind of gives you hope that you're like, man, I don't need to be, you know, on plane and bent over and all this stuff. And, you know, he's up there dancing with the ball. You know, I got to go to the Masters the last 2 years and see some guys. Rory, you know, I'm probably naming off guys that are just kind of the normal dudes.
No, but that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what they've accomplished. And, yeah, they are must-see TV. I agree with you 100%. All right, a couple more questions. Best golf course John Lester's ever played?
Augusta. I've got to play it twice.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what? There's probably two. I never really say that to people because it's always like, well, that's obviously up here. Pebble. And, you know, I like Oakmont, but, you know, it's probably going to get some bad taste in people's mouth. But it's not one of my faves. There's a course outside of D.C. called Robert Trent Jones that is one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a – I don't want to say – it's where Tiger used to have that Quicken Loans deal back I don't know how many years ago. That's one of my favorites. But, like I said, I think Augusta's over here in another column, but I would say probably my number one would be Pebble.
Best one in Chicago.
Man, I didn't get to play enough golf in Chicago. You know, it just – it was so hard to get out. We had a lot of day games.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to play Medina. I've got to play, there's a place called Beverly. I got to play Bobolink. You got a Beverly shirt? There you go. Chicago Golf.
Now that's one that.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
I always forget about that one.
Yeah.
That one was cool.
That's on my bucket list.
That one was pretty cool.
Olympia Fields?
Nope. See, I didn't get to play that. Was it Shore Acres?
Shore Acres, I believe.
I didn't get to play there. But no, man, I got to play. I've been been so lucky to get
you're
to
John
play.
Lester, yeah.
Well, it was more the other connect. The people that I played with had connections, and I would just follow along.
Last question for you. Fantasy foursome. You, three others, living or deceased, that you'd like to play a round of golf with. Who would it be?
Oh, man. I'd probably have to do a broad. I think you got to throw a president in there. I just don't know which one I would pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I'd have to dive into that one. I think a president has to be in there. Dude, I would say, you know, I'm sure a lot of people would pick Tiger. I would almost have to try to pick like a Ben Hogan or like a Nicholas.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like something a little bit deeper than just the normal Tiger. I mean, I think Tiger's, you only got four people or three with me. You know, I think it would be like a 1A Tiger one or 1A Nicholas or Hogan and then Tiger. I would have to throw in like a baseball guy, like an icon in baseball of, you know, like a Babe Ruth or I think Mickey would be pretty cool. My ultimate would be, and he's, you know, it would be Griffey. You know, that would be pretty, growing up, that was like Mike Trout and Aaron Judge to my kids. You know, that was my dude. So I would say like a Griffey in there. So I gave you a little broad answer, but I think a president and then an icon in golf, whether it be Nicholas Hogan, Tiger, and then probably a baseball legend of Griffey.
John, thanks so much for your time. And
yeah,
I'm telling you, as a Cub fan, thank you so much for 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I remember the days when my mom would drop me off the golf course in the summers in the morning, and then I'd get home and I'd watch them on WGN because we really didn't have lights in the 80s.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember watching, you know, growing up in the Northwest, watching, you either watch the Braves or you watch the Cubs.
That's right.
And, you know, like, my kids don't understand there was an MLB package back then. You know, like, Sunday night baseball was usually Red Sox, Yankees, or a Yankees playing who, or Red Sox playing who. So you didn't really get to see a lot of teams. And then, you know, when you're at home during the summer, it was WGN or Turner, you know, TBS, Turner Sports.
That's
and
it.
It was the Braves or Cubs. So it was pretty cool to get to do it.
John, thanks.
Yeah, man. No problem.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet. The sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to blackmanauctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Welcome back to From the Shortgrass. I want to thank one of our founding sponsors, Blackman Auctions, an initial sponsor of this podcast, From the Shortgrass. Thomas Blackman, the gang over at Blackman Auctions, they know auctions like the back of their hand. Find them on the web, blackmanauctions.com, to find their list of upcoming auctions. I want to leave you with a couple of golf quotes. This from Lee Trevino. There is no such thing as natural touch. Touch is something you create by hitting millions of golf balls. And this from Payne Stewart. He says, but in the end, it's still a game of golf. And if at the end of the day, you can't shake hands with your opponents and still be friends, then you've missed the point. I hope the next time you find your ball mark on the green, you fix it and a couple of more, and then shake hands with your opponents. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.